This is Sharing Our Pairings, episode 100. I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon. This is episode 100 Celebration, which is the 100th episode of Sharing Our Pairings. Thanks for everyone who's tuned in live. Sorry about the technical issues. It's the problem with the technology. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It was all working, and then it wasn't. But we do have our special guest here tonight, Robbie Rass from Mombacho Cigars, which fits right into what we're doing. And Rob, how you been? Good to have you back on the show.
Thank you. It's I'm glad to be back. It's a lot of fun to come back on the show as a guest. It's a little bit weird to be out sitting on this side of the glass, I guess. But no, it's a lot of fun. And thank you for bringing me back for the 100th episode and celebrating it with a Liga Maestro. That's pretty cool. So, but yeah, I'm happy to be back. I've got a great cigar, smoking the double Robusto. I know you guys are both smoking the Hermosos, I believe. Is that correct?
Yep. That Hold right. that up for our audience there.
The double Robusto, 6¾ by Bitty. So damn near a Churchill. And you guys are at the 6x46. I love that size. That's the spicy. That's the one I should have gone with, frankly, with the beers and, well, the beer and the whiskey that I'm working with tonight. I should have gone with a cigar that had a bit more spice to it. This. The double Robusto, I can smoke this thing for 3 hours and it's smooth as all get out. But a little bit more spice might have been a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I cheated because I've had the official visit at Mombacho. I've smoked everything a couple times at Mombacho. And I was like, I remember this being a little bit on the spicy side, which, you know, I love the spicy side. Like the Tierra Volcán Fino has a little bit more body to it. And that's kind of where I gravitate towards. So I figured the Hermoso Liga Maestro would be the way to go. And we are pairing some big beverages tonight, which we've talked about on previous shows. Not always the best thing to do, but it's a celebration. What are you going to do? That's just how I roll, you know?
You got to celebrate, man.
Got to celebrate.
Absolutely.
And it, yeah, and it is.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
That Pequeño, too, the little guy.
Mm. Yeah.
That one's got a little bit of kick to it, too.
Yeah, that one's got some flavor.
And a great little smoke. Well, I mean, not today because the weather actually cooperated for once, but on a typical basis, fantastic for the weather. Like 100% excellent. You can get in like a 20, 25-minute smoke, full flavored, so you're not, and I hate to crap on little cigars, but I'm going to crap on little cigars. A lot of little cigars don't have the same flavor because you're dealing with less leaves in the cigar, but not so much on the Mombacho.
You're talking about the Mambachito.
Mambachito!
The really little guy.
Yeah, little tiny guy.
Yeah. Mm. I was going to say 25 minutes. That seems
You're raging on that thing.
For over an hour.
Yeah, the Pequeño is in the Liga Maestro line. It's 4.5x44.
Yeah, that'd be a little much to smoke in 25
minutes.
Yeah,
I was going to say, man, you're raging
That's a 50-minute smoke, let's be honest.
You're smoking that like Logan.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't smoke like Logan. Don't do as Logan does. That's always my advice. But yeah, I mean, this Hermoso definitely starts out spicy. And when I say spicy, just to clarify, because, you know, spicy has a lot of connotations to it. I would describe it as like a white pepper with a little bit of chili flake, and it hits you. You get a nice little bit of chili flake post-draw, kind of lingers there, and then it kind of just continues to fall off. It's not a spice bomb. It's not like a, you know, Dom Pepin where it's just going to blow your taste buds away, which, you know, I like that. But that's not what we're going for tonight. We're going for elegant, creamy, but still had a lot of power to stand up to some of the crazy, crazy beverages we've got.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you
said it better.
Yeah, you guys picked the right size. Absolutely.
Cool.
I should have done the same. I don't know what I was thinking. I just every time when I get a chance to smoke the double Robusto,
it's a nice size.
I used to smoke it
because you never have a chance, right? You just never have a chance.
This is the first cigar I've smoked since I got back from Nicaragua.
That's wrong.
Oh wow,
that's so wrong.
Yeah. Well, and Logan can tell you this too. Every time I go down to Nicaragua, I bring a cold back every time.
Oh.
I don't get sick, but which thank God. But I get a little. I always get a little cold, and I got this one. This started about halfway through the trip. And, and I just kind of hung on to it I'm still hanging on to it. I don't know. The older I get, the older I get, the less I can fight off these colds. I don't know why, but I'm happy to be back in the saddle.
Roger that. Well, Rob, first of all, and I don't know if this question's been asked on CigarFederation.com or Facebook, but I'm going to ask it for the people out there. What is it? What is your official title with Mombacho? Because I thought it was brand manager, so we'll see if I've been paying attention. But
it is.
All right, very good. So I was paying attention. That's good.
Yeah, and brand manager is, and I don't like not knowing what the questions are.
Yeah, yeah. Surprise!
I like being on the other side when I know what the questions are. I didn't study
before. We got some heavy heaters right around the 50-minute mark when you're feeling sauced.
I'm sure, yeah. that's when the big guns come out.
That's right.
No, so my title is brand manager, and that's a broad title.
It can absolutely
mean many things. I've seen other brand manager positions, even in the industry, posted recently, and their job descriptions are very different. You could really think of me as like a marketing manager. I'm in charge of I'm managing the brand from a marketing standpoint, and for the United States, for Canada, for worldwide. I mean, we have a presence in the U.S. and Canada, Europe, China, Australia, and Central America as well. So there's a lot of different markets that we're working in. So I am managing all those markets.
So really, it'd be fair to say you're both the national and international brand manager from Mombacho Cigars. Mombacho.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, we don't really think about it that way. It's just the brand is the brand, and it just happens to be an international brand. I mean, you could say it that way if you wanted to, but it's always the same.
So
the same
you could maybe change your title to something like planetary brand manager.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you run the brand for the entire planet.
That would look good on a business card. To say that I run the brand wouldn't necessarily be
correct. Sorry, you run the marketing for the brand, for the entire planet.
Yeah, you can get squirrely with some of the wording, but I mean, I think you guys get it. It's just I manage the marketing of the Mombacho brand, which is Tierra Volcán, is Mombachito, is Liga Maestro, the 10th anniversary, and anything that comes in the future, which I can't talk about, so don't ask me.
And I want to give a little plug because, of course, I would not have been able to get samples up to me in time for the show. So I actually went to one of my local Cheap Smokes and Cigars store, this is my plug, and picked these up on the shelf. Now, the plug I want to give is for Mombacho, because as people have heard me rage on about the prices of cigars here in Canada due to taxes, and I don't know what kind of magic that Claudio does to get the cigars into Canada at the price he does, but this Hermoso lands on the shelf here for about $22 and change. And that might seem like a lot of money to our American counterparts, but when you think of some of the normal stock brands that you pay $8, $8.50 for at home, those brands land on the shelf here for about $32 to $35. So the fact that I can pick up a two-pack for almost the same price as what I pick up a single in another brand on the shelf, that's really aggressive pricing. And we do carry these at most of our stores. So really, it was convenient for me to just walk in, grab a couple, and be like, I'm set for the show. So handy for me.
No, that's good to hear. And Marcus Ratti, one of the founders of Mombacho, is texting me, and his texts, somehow my phone and my laptop are in sync, and I did it on accident if I did it. And so they keep popping up in the window. He says worldwide marketing manager.
Boom. Nice. So
there we go.
I like planet wide. It sounds like more brand.
WWMM.
Yeah, I like that. When you start using the term planet, I start thinking like the Daily Planet, and then I start thinking Superman. So it makes me feel like a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of into that. But no, that's good to hear about the Canadian pricing. And transitioning from the media side, John, and you can probably speak to this as well, although you transitioned from the media side to the retailer, to move over to the manufacturing side. There's a lot about this industry that I didn't understand from a consumer standpoint. And I mean, for the most part, most consumers don't with that side of the industry. So there's a lot that I'm still learning, and understanding how pricing works in different parts of the United States, mm-hmm. different states and all that.
Yep.
And then you start going into different countries and you start talking about pricing in Canada, when you say, oh, it's like $22.50, I think, man, that is pricey, but that's the market. So, yep. So as far as the secret sauce that gets everything into the Canadian market at that price, I don't know how they do it. Claudio's a magician, man.
No, he really is.
A $5 cigar. in the U.S., right?
Yeah, like that'd be a
cool with like the $5.
That's exactly right. So and these are not $5 cigars.
That puts it even in more perspective for me. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, but of course, everyone you know out there, this is a pairing show. We are going to get into our pairings in just a moment, but we wanted to take a moment and reintroduce Robbie to hopefully no one has forgotten him over the past 90 some 80 some odd episodes that he was the great co-host here on Sharing Our Pairings. We are pairing the Liga Maestro from Mombacho. But a reminder to your audience, if those who didn't catch our intro, unfortunately, you are tuned in to Sharing Our Pairings, episode 100, Cien Celebración. And I'm your host, John the Cigar Surgeon. We are picked up on the Armed Forces Radio Network broadcast around the world. And, of course, picked on podcasts, CigarFederation.com, Facebook Live. Thanks for all of our live listeners tuned in. Thanks for all of our podcast listeners, wherever you are in the world, from Great Britain to Sweden to Burkina Faso. We know you guys are out there. We appreciate it. We appreciate your comments. I got to give that love out to Burkina Faso. I mean, that's a committed listener right there. Sharing Our Pairings is brought to you by Gurkha Cigars, makers of the finest cigars in the world. Check out your local B&M. Talk to them about the heritage of the Heritage Maduro. They'll hook you up. They'll find the Gurkha that's right for you. But what's right for me, do you see that segue? What's right for me is pairing. Beautiful. It's pairing. I want to get into it. I want to tear it up because I've got some great beverages. But before I do that, I want to give our guest a chance to maybe introduce his first pairing. Chance to go first this time.
Oh, I get to go first?
Yeah, what do you think about that?
This is exciting.
Very exciting.
This is exciting. So my first pairing is from a local brewery. Marcus says he can almost see your six pack, John.
Nice. Canadian shredded.
through the two or three layers that you're wearing.
That's right.
You can actually see his abs.
You can actually see it. I opened my beer bottle on my abs.
Awful. So you guys kind of threw the gauntlet down with the beers that you posted. You guys posted your pairings before I decided what I was going to do. And you guys went barrel-aged. It's the 100th episode. And again, we're happy to be here. I say we, and featuring the Liga Maestro for the 100th episode. Really do appreciate it. That's an honor. It's an honor for me to be back because, I mean, I do love the show. And, of course, everybody's forgotten about me. Are you kidding? It's been 10 episodes. That's like, nowadays, that's like I've been gone for 20 years.
It's a lifetime.
Yeah, right. They don't know who the hell I am. Anyway. Going with a barrel-aged Jolly Roger from Drake's. Drake's is local. I featured back when I was doing the show regularly. I featured Drake's a few times. And this is a barrel-aged Imperial Coffee Porter. Ooh. And I've been sipping on it a little bit. It's surprisingly, the pairing's actually working out pretty well.
Yeah.
Let's see. So this is, you can cellar it for up to 3.5 years. And the nice thing is they've got the bottled on right there.
No, I appreciate that.
But you'll notice it's blank.
I got that on mine too. Mine's from a different brewery. They have a little spot for it. Nothing.
See, now I'm the jackhole because you can see it's printed over where it says bottled on. So it was in November of 2016. So this had a lot of time to age, and I didn't let it age. It is 10.2% ABV. That's free in units, and it's quite a heater. I pulled up their website. And I think they may have been hit with some sort of virus or something because the first time I tried to open it, it said that, you're not from a secure network. And I just said, well, wait a second. I don't want to open that. Then I went directly to their website and it's kind of funky. So there's not a lot of information here, unfortunately. I think we're just hitting them at a bad time. Pulled it up here on Beer Advocate, which is another place I like to go for info. And there's only a handful of reviews, only been three, but they've all been good. 4.11, 4.24, and 4.48 out of 5. So people have been enjoying it. I've taken a few sips. It's surprisingly not crushing the cigar. I thought it might.
Nice.
When we get into these barrel-aged beers, which we talked about in the past, it can be tough to pair. But so far, so good. What are you guys going with?
Trippy, you're up.
All right. So my first pairing is from a local brewery called Breakside that I think has been on the show before. I'm 90% sure. So this is their salted caramel stout, which is a normal seasonal for them. They do it every winter. It's great. They age it for about 12 months. That's what they say, almost a full year. So who knows exactly how long that is. But they age it in Heaven Hill barrels. So, of course, that could be almost any bourbon since, like, half the bourbons that come out of Kentucky are from Heaven Hill.
But they good.
But they good, yes. Mine also, they don't really advertise it, but that's where the date should be. It's just not there. So I don't know what the ABV of this is. Somewhere around 10.5%.
That'll do.
Peter.
Yeah.
That'll work.
That'll work. It'll do. You don't get as much caramel and salt as you would expect from something called salted caramel stout. You definitely get just a touch of it, like almost a saltine kind of note and just a little sweetness from the caramel.
You like saltine.
Yeah, saltine's pretty good.
I like cheap crackers. I don't know why.
So back to the brewery for a second. They were founded in 2010. They're in Northeast Portland, and they started off with just one brewery and restaurant, and now they've expanded to, I think they have three or four now. I know they have another one opening this year. And they are maniacs for brewing. They, in, I think it was 2014, it might have been 2013, their goal was to brew more beers in 1 year than any other 30-barrel brewery had. So they brewed 100 different beers in one year. And every single one of them went on tap at their tap house.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of beers, man.
Yeah, especially for 30-barrel system. I mean, they're not making a ton of beer.
Yeah, they're not taking a lot of time off either.
Yeah.
Definitely not. Last one came out like the week before Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much have to be working through most holidays for that. That's crazy.
Yeah, they're going all year.
Where are they located again?
Northeast Portland.
Mm. We did not, when Dana and I went up there, Dana's my wife, Dana, we did not go to Breakside. Although, I believe both John and I have had that beer on this show, not the barrel-aged version.
I believe so, yeah. It's good.
I thought it was super, super sweet.
It's very sweet.
But not the barrel-aged version. I'd be curious to see what that tastes like.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. All right, so I'm going to hop on my first pairing here. And I went in a completely different direction, partially because, you know, got to keep that six-pack. Partially because I like whiskey, and, I like to put the cigar through its paces. Now, this is a bottle that I think I've featured on the show before, certainly from the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society, which I've featured on the show before. They all come in this fancy green bottle with the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society stamp. This is 29.150 hand-rolled Cuban cigars. Now, one of the things I haven't really talked about in the past is I kind of given an overview of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society out there for the Scotch maniacs that tune into our show. And they've been around for a long time. They're founded in Edinburgh, which makes sense. You'd think the Scotch community is going to either be up in Glasgow or Edinburgh, really. And they were founded in 1983. So they're essentially a membership-only organization. So you do have to buy a membership and then renew your membership. And that gives you the ability to not only taste the whiskeys, but buy the whiskeys. You can't buy the whiskeys unless you're a member of the society. What's special about it, you ask? They sell cask-strength single cask whiskeys, which is not something that anybody else really does. There's a couple independent bottlers on the market that do something similar, not quite like this. So they go through and they specifically, you know, raid the dunnage warehouses, find the cask that they like, and they say, yeah, we'll take that cask, and then they bottle that entire cask. They don't filter it, they don't color it, they don't water it down. I say water it down, it sounds bad, but they don't bring it down from the ABV that it went into the bottle and it's coming out of the bottle at. So you're getting the pure, undiluted distillate that's been aged in a barrel for however long. And if you're a member and you're in Edinburgh or London, you can visit their tasting rooms and you can take part in their tasting rooms and you can taste from any of their selection. And I mean, I think they've bottled like 3,000 bottles now. So I know some of those bottles would probably be a couple ducats, but
road
I mean,
trip.
Yeah, it's a selection. And so I think I've talked about this in the past that every product I buy from them, even when it's from a distiller that I know really well, and this one, 29.150, that decoding, they can't, because it's not bottled by the distillery, they can't put the distillery name on it, right? You can't put the distillery name on it. So in this case, 29 decodes to Laphroaig. Now, you know I love the Laphroaig. This is an 18-year-old Laphroaig from Outterm 197. It's 59.2% ABV. It's a heater. It's distilled in 1995, and it's good. I mean, it's really good. It's, you know, we've talked about it on the show where a lot of heavily peated whiskeys, the longer you age them, the more that peat becomes subtle and nuanced. I don't know if I'd really call this peat subtle and nuanced. It's still pretty big and in your face at 59.2%, but, you know, I'll talk about, actually, you know what, I'll talk about my tasting notes in a minute. I'll let Robbie talk about how that tasting and pairing is going with that first beer.
Well, so far, so good. when we talked about, whenever we talk about barrel-aged beers, it's, the flavor can be so overpowering, right? Mm-hmm. It can be super, super boozy. And I always think of like maybe not worst case scenario, but like booziest case scenario, I go back to Bourbon County from 2015. That was so boozy. And I've got a couple still, I got three or four still back in the fridge back here. And I cracked one open when they did, when 2016 came out. So a couple months ago. And it doesn't, it's still super boozy. 2016, I thought was a lot better. This Jolly Roger, now it's not a stout, it's an Imperial Coffee Porter. So you're going to get a little bit more of an earthy flavor, I think. But the booziness, if I can make up a word, is not overpowering at all.
Nice.
And I was actually looking through the three reviews here on Beer Advocate.
And, is there really only three?
There's three.
Wow.
Yeah, there's three. And they've there's three reviews and four people have rated it. Well, I mean, it just came out, and it's actually not, it's not a cheap beer. It's not easy to find, but this was $17, I think.
That's not cheap.
So you get a little bit on the pricey side.
Yeah.
But this drinks like a beer that has maybe 8% alcohol in it, 7%. Wow. So it could be a little bit dangerous. It's got a lot of chocolate, a lot of coffee up front, some bittersweet chocolate, and like a kind of stewed fruit that we talk about, like a stewed cherry or something like that, almost like a cherry cordial kind of flavor to it. And it is boozy. I mean, you can get that. There's a lot of that oak and there's a lot of the bourbon in there, but or bourbon-ish type flavor. But so far, I'm really, really surprised at how well this Double Robusto is standing up to all the flavor that's happening in this beer. And like we've talked about in the past, and if you haven't watched the show in the past, go back and watch some of the barrel-aged shows. They were tough.
They were tough
to find. I mean, it was so much easier to pair an IPA, which made no sense.
Yep.
But it's tough to find a beer that can, or a cigar that can stand up to a beer with this much flavor without kind of butting heads, right? This is really, I'm losing a little bit of the nuance of the cigar because the flavor in this, and you guys have smoked this particular size, it really is a nuanced flavor in the cigar. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of, like sugar cane and sugar cane sweetness there and some a little bit of earthy notes. The aroma is really nice. It's not overpowering at all. There's a little bit of spice up front, but not too much. You get a little spice in the retrohale, but I'm not losing much, a little bit, but not a lot. And I'm definitely not losing anything out of the beer. It's a pretty nice pairing so far.
Trip, what say you?
So this barrel aged stout is not as, I mean, I feel like it's a thing that I whine about with stouts all the time. It's not as viscous as I expected it to be. It's a little thin. It tastes almost like a watered down barrel aged stout, which is really weird. It's still got a lot of flavor, but it's just kind of thin on the
mouthfeel.
Yeah, mouthfeel. That's the word.
It's a little disappointing.
Yeah, it's a little bit boozy, but not as much as I would have expected. And that all being said, it pairs pretty well with the cigar because it's kind of a little more restrained than most barrel-aged beers. So it definitely doesn't overpower the cigar at all. I'm still getting pretty much all the flavor out of the cigar. And then the sort of mildness of the beer kind of helps retain the flavor of the cigar while still complementing it.
Nice.
Now, Breakside's known more for their IPAs, aren't they?
Yes. So when they did that 100 beers in a year, the final one was called Safe Word, and it was one of the first,
first
triple IPAs besides Pliny the Elder.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Or Pliny the Younger, rather.
The Younger, yeah.
Last year, when Younger came out, because there's, you know, it's a huge thing, and of course it's a huge thing here in Portland because we're a big beer town. There were a couple places that did blind tastings between, like, five different triples that had all been brewed around the same time and were all pretty similar. And Breakside's Safe Word actually beat out Pliny.
Dude,
I think
Pliny
came in third.
I love that name. It scares me. But
at the same time,
if I saw it, I'd buy it. You can't even get it
in bottles. The only time they've put it in bottles, they had, I think it was 100 cases. Mm. And they were just plain 22-ounce bottles that had Safe Word written in gold Sharpie.
That's kind of awesome.
I love it.
Yeah, which is kind of sweet.
I love it.
Just a reminder, if you have not downloaded the Untappd app and you're a beer fan, you got to download the Untappd app. They just released version 3 today. It was a major overhaul of the UI. It's super awesome. They've added a lot of functionality, like the ability to check in your beer with the style that it came in. So whether it's a growler, a can, if it's on tap, if it's a bottle, a keg, whatever. Very cool. You can also check in where you bought it from, which I super dig. Lots of updates. Very cool. But talking about my pairing, because that's what we're here to talk about. I am shocked, and Rob kind of echoed this, I am shocked that this Mambacho is absolutely standing up to this Laphroaig, even at 59.2%. And what I notice about the way that Claudio blends, he likes to take you on a journey around the flavor map. And I always notice that in a lot of Mambachos, there's this kind of tangy sour note, like a very subtle tangy sour note. You get, and like on this one, I'm getting a lot of spice, I'm getting some sweetness, I get a lot of creaminess. It just walks me all over the flavor map, and I was really worried that this Laphroaig might run over those nuances. What I find is this cigar is absolutely matching it strength for strength. It's got this, because of that sort of briny saltiness to it, which the cigar doesn't really have a lot of saltiness to it, at least not where I am in the first third. And that salt quality and even the peaty, smoky quality is really serving to supercharge the flavors in the cigar. So I take a sip of the Laphroaig, I get that briny, salty. I get a little bit of sweetness, but then I take a puff on the cigar and I get, you know, supercharged white pepper. I get a little bit of that sour note, a little bit of citrus note, a lot of creaminess. It's very satisfying. And again, I'm shocked that these are matching strength for strength because, you know, typically when we talk about, I should be talking about in terms of body because this is not a medium bodied cigar. It's a really medium plus bodied cigar, at least in my opinion. And it's good. But I do remind our audience, you two are tuned in to Sharing Our Pairings episode 100. Cien Celebration. This is our 100th episode of Sharing Our Pairings. The first, the original pairing show where we pair cigars and beverages. That's right. We started it out and we're still live after 100 episodes. We are, of course, joined by my co-host, Trippy Trent, and our special guest tonight, Rob, the worldwide brand manager for Mambacho Cigars. And, you know, pairings planetary. Going so far. Planetary. Captain like Planet it. Manager.
I like it.
Hey, John, when you guys were down in Granada and you went to Casa Favilli.
Yes, sir.
Which that's our factory. If you're down in Granada, you have to go.
Have to.
Did you do the, and you guys both have been there. Did you guys do the ABC tasting with Claudio?
Of course. Yes. Absolutely. You got to.
Awesome. That was, I even got my wife to do that.
Nice.
Dana. Wow, really?
That's awesome.
Yeah. And she was smoking Mambachitos by the time we left.
Nice.
I had to bring some home for her. She hasn't smoked any since she's been home, but she did smoke it.
Yeah, that was on my, I don't know if people follow me on Facebook or not, but that was on my Facebook bucket list, was to smoke each of the leaves, right? And that was the first time I genuinely sat down and smoked Seiko Visa Lajero, then smoke them together, smoke a Seiko and a Lajero together, smoke a Seiko and a Visa together, smoke all three together. And, you know, when you're smoking the Seiko, You definitely don't get a lot of flavor off it. I mean, right away you can say, yeah, okay, I can see why this is really used for combustion. The Viso, though, you smoke the Viso and you're like, man, you know what? I would probably smoke a cigar, pure Viso. And then you get into Lajero, and I mean, I'm a Lajero fiend and I love the Lajero. But certainly, you know, you start mixing and matching, and it's kind of a fun experience, frankly.
I mean, I would smoke that little Perito of Lajero, I would smoke that by itself.
Absolutely.
I got so much flavor out of that and like so many different levels of flavor. That thing was amazing. And one thing that I never thought about until Claudio pointed it out is, I think it was on the Viso. No, it might have been the Seiko, how your teeth feel dirty. I had never thought about that before. How particular tobaccos give you that like gritty feeling on your teeth.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've always equated that to like dry mouth. Right, like it's, but your mouth is a little bit. I never thought of it in the terms that Claudio will explain it. And again, if you're ever down in Granada, find yourself in Granada, which happens to be the oldest city in the Americas. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful city.
It really is. When it comes to history, when it comes to a lot of things, I'm not very bright, but there's some things I know about. But
live on the internet. You know everything.
I think I've done a pretty good job over the last, 5 years illustrating there's a lot of things that I don't know about.
That's fair.
if you can't make fun of yourself, what can you do? Definitely got to visit Casa Favilli. It's awesome. I like being down there and just kind of hanging out, watching some of the groups that come in. Random tourists will walk in.
Yeah.
And when the first time I was down there, right after I think I started with Mambacho on November 1st and November 3rd, I was in the factory and I was just hanging out in the lounge, that smoking room there with the humidor and everything. and a group of Norwegians walked in, and that's my people. That's, well, at least part of my people anyway. My last name is Rasmussen, and that part of my family came from Norway. And it's just cool to see the different groups that come in, and I see all the people posting on, you know, Instagram and Facebook. And the ones that I like the best are the ones that they're like, well, I don't even smoke cigars, but we came in and did the tour, and it was awesome. We rolled our own cigars and everything. It's really cool. So anyway, I don't mean to be a company guy, but if you are, I mean, you guys saw the factory. It's unique.
I was telling John and Logan on the Pro Support recap show, it's the most unique factory I've ever been at. I know, John, you make me, every time I say most unique, I think about it now.
It's just unique.
Yes. It's different from every other factory you'll ever go to. You can go to every factory in the world, and that one has the most attention to detail that I've ever seen. It's kind of incredible.
And I believe it's the only factory in Nicaragua that's licensed, that is allowed to sell cigars out of the lounge. So you do see, I mean, you know, I was down in Granada, I'm smoking cigars from morning, noon, and night. So I'm in the lounge smoking all day long. And I mean, there was a parade of people just constantly coming in, buying boxes, you know, and occasionally I was like, hey, you know, what do you like? And because, you know, whatever, I'll throw in my 2 cents. And, you know, there's people coming out with handfuls of cigars all day long, which was, like you said, kind of cool watching them come off the street and just come in and smoke a cigar.
Yeah, the prices down there are pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
Especially for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't it funny when you're in Nicaragua how you can just roll out of bed and just, I mean, you're just wake and bake, as Logan likes to say.
Yeah, I can't do you're that just, at home. There's no way I can do that at home. No.
I'm throwing back 7, 8, 9, 10 cigars a day when I'm down there, and then at home it's not the same thing.
And you're not quite burning out your palate. Like, I feel like at home, if I smoke a cigar in the morning and then a cigar after lunch, when I get to my after-dinner cigar, if I have one, my palate is just ruined, and I'm barely tasting that thing. In Nicaragua, I can smoke all day long, and somebody gives me a new cigar at 11:30 at night, and I smoke it, and I can actually pick up flavors from it. I don't know what it is.
It's the humidity.
It's magic.
That's
the magic.
What everybody says. There is
some magic in the air down there.
Well,
are we moving on?
We're going to move on. Yeah, I'm super excited for my second pairing. I've been sitting on this beer for 2 years. For those who are super beer aficionados, you'll know this beer very well. This is from 5050 Brewing Company. This is the Eclipse. This bad boy has been sitting in my humidor. I don't know if you can see that, but my lighting isn't so great tonight. I was worried about. But it's got the brewed on 2014 right there. It's been sitting in my humidor or my beer fridge for 2.5 years. For those who don't know about 5050 Brewing, I don't know how you don't, but they are a craft brewery. They're located in Truckee, California. Mm. Truckee. Now, their website was not very good at showcasing themselves. They showcase their product. They showcase their brew pub. Not really showcasing themselves. I had to do a little bit of digging. Fix your website, guys. Come on. What's going on?
It's not unique to that. We've been through that. It's amazing how many they just don't want to talk about.
They don't want to talk about themselves. That's fair. But they were founded in 2007. I had to find that out after some digging. One of the cool things about them, and I find this a lot of the small craft breweries, is they tend to have really cool society statements or mission statements. And one of the things, they do many things. And one of the cool things they do is that all the spent grain from brewing, it's not thrown away. It's not composted. They donate it to a local ranch for livestock feeding, which is kind of cool. So, you know, trying to minimize their ecological impact. But this bad boy is 11.9%. On the Beer Advocate, it has a 94 rating, which, you know, that's pretty good. This is the, hold it up again so people can tell. This is the red wax, and you can, it's kind of like a little bit like other brands out there. We have to decode it based on the color. So you kind of have to decode this.
And the year.
So this is the Four Roses blend. I've had the Elijah Craig 12-year blend, and I smashed it, and it was delicious. So what they do is they take the Totality Imperial Stout, which is brewed in 300-gallon batches, very small batches, and they have 18 separate ingredients that go into that. They take that, and then they age that an additional 180 days in these ex-bourbon barrel, oak-aged ex-bourbon barrel casks. And they have a range. It can range from 9 different types, 11 different types, depends on the year. So this bad boy, Four Roses, now, to Trippy's point earlier, it is not as viscous as I was kind of anticipating it to be. I expected it to be really, really thick, really motor oil viscosity, but it's a little bit on the thinner side. It smells fantastic, though, and I just want to drink it. So I'm gonna let Rob go next, and I'm gonna take some sips and try and minimize my mic noise as I make uncomfortable noises for audience.
Yeah, do your thing. 50/50 is relatively local to me, and all my local spots. When the new Eclipse comes out every year, they get it. That's an expensive beer, man.
Mm-hmm.
They run me and. And I'm local, $35 a bottle.
Yeah.
They're nuts.
Yeah, I think they're 40 bones up here.
That's actually really good, all things considered. They are not cheap, but it's fantastic. One that I had, John, I know you'd love, and I think I still have one, and maybe it'll be an IPCPR thing if I can look back in there and see if I still have it, is High West Distillery did a single malt.
Mm.
And they aged it in their single malt barrels, and it has such a nice, nice little peaty flavor to it.
Oh,
it's amazing
great.
How much that comes through, that smokiness comes through. But I've had a few different ones, and they are fantastic. I've got another one, I think, I actually probably need to crack it open because it's getting pretty old. I think it's from 2012 that was in an old Fitzgerald cask.
Nice.
That I do need to get into. But I did mine the opposite way. And I'm going with bourbon next. Now, this is a fancy little bottle that was given to my wife as a gift. And it is so I did ask her permission before I took it. She marks it. It's like when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And your parents mark it. Make sure
you got to fill it back up with water.
Yeah. This is Woodford Reserve, who we featured before in the past. Master Collection. This is a brandy cask finish of their the bourbon. So it's Kentucky Straight Bourbon. Finished in brandy casks, 45.2% ABV, 90.4 proof. And this is series number 11, and it's selected by Chris, looks like Morris. I don't know who that is, but he sounds special. If you pull up their website, they give you a little bit of information on it. It's their 11th release in the series, blah, blah, blah. It's the first whiskey to be finished in an American brandy cask. Hmm. Interesting. The color is warm red ochre. So, I don't know. Does that look like warm red ochre to you guys?
I don't know. It looks like gold to me.
Yeah, it's kind of like a honey color, in my opinion. Aroma is a melody of chocolate, maple syrup, and caramel drizzle over toasted hazelnuts. Oh. Very specific.
Whoa.
Dark raisins and dried cranberries. I definitely get the drizzle over the hazelnuts. No, it's actually, this thing is really, it's really, really nice. It's on the sweeter side. If that makes sense, you're going with a brandy cask, so you're going to get some of that brandy note in there. And the maple syrup for me was the thing that really stuck out. And maple in a whiskey for me is one of the things, if that's a predominant flavor, I pick it up really, really quick. And it almost becomes overpowering. So that was one of the things actually turned me off about this a little bit. The reason I decided to feature this one is it's a really nice bottle. And I'm curious to see how it pairs because the only time I've had it was on its own. So I'm definitely curious to see how it pairs with this. And I'm hoping that it'll accentuate that little bit of spiciness that you get from this Jägermeister, maybe bring out some more of those earthy notes and a little bit of the strength as well. So we'll see how that goes. So far, so good with the first pairing. Second pairing of the night, we'll see. Trip, what do you got?
All right, so I went a little... I also, like John, went a little highfalutin with this one.
Nice.
I've got Deschutes The Abyss.
Ooh.
Nice. Which is I'm going to read their description, which is pretty long, as you can see here. I mean, that's the description. And that's not like a description of the beer. It's just a description of what they do to the beer.
Mm.
It's an imperial stout with blackstrap molasses and licorice, dry spice with cherry bark and vanilla bean. 21% is aged in oak bourbon barrels. 21% aged in oak wine barrels and 8% aged in new Oregon oak barrels, which, as we've talked about before, is kind of in between American oak and Mizanara.
Mm.
And then the remaining 50% is new, fresh stout. It clocks in at 11% this year. I've seen it as high as 12.5%.
Yeah.
It's a heater.
Those beers are fun, man. Those are good.
Yeah. And I tried to get my hands on the Scotch-aged version, which they do the same thing, but instead of the Oregon bourbon barrels, or the oak bourbon barrels, they age that 21% in Scotch barrels.
Oh,
but that one is just really hard to find. I can find a couple of the other variants, but not that one.
Yeah, they do a few different variants. I know they do a, I think they do a rye as well, and a couple of different things. But I was actually at BevMo one time when they opened up a box of all of them, and the guy couldn't find the price for me, and he tried to scan it. It wouldn't come up with the computer. And my wife and I were supposed to go see a movie, so I was like, screw it, I'll come back. And I came back, and they were all gone.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say he gave you some crazy deal. I mean, I
got... Oh, no, that would have been better. Yeah, that would have...
I got what I would call a crazy deal on this, which is it costs $25 normally, and the grocery store near my house had 20% off all beer for Super Bowl weekend. So nice. I was just like, all right, I'm going to buy all the expensive stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That gets dangerous.
Yeah. And around here, you can still find, like, I can still find the 2015... the regular Abyss, not like the variants, but the regular version like this. I can still find the 2015, and the 2014 is at a pretty decent markup, like $35-$40.
Now they do the Black Butte.
Yes.
As well, right? And they're a yearly version.
Yeah, so they do a, I don't remember the name of it, but yeah, they have a Black Butte that I think is aged in bourbon barrels.
Yeah,
and it's got the wax and everything. I picked up when I was up there, that was one of the places that we went to in Portland, and their tasting room in Portland is awesome.
Yeah,
it's really cool. And everything is really, really cool. And while we were there, the guy was, if you're sitting at in the bar area, you look back and you can see the brewery part where they're doing, and the guy was mashing in, and I could smell it, you know. And if you've ever brewed, you know that smell. And I was just getting antsy. And Dana's like, just go talk to him because I know you want, like, it's like this guy's doing something that I would love to do.
Yeah,
and get paid to do. I mean, I do it. I don't get paid. I pay to do it. But so I went and I was chatting with the guy a little bit. He was just making like a, I don't know if it was an IPA or a pale ale or something. But yeah, they were mashing in while we were there. So it was really, really cool. That smell is just, whew. But they have a lot of stuff on tap and a lot of different things to taste. And I think I bought back to like the 2013 or 2014 version of the Black Butte. So I've got four or five different ones.
Oh, wow.
I need to crack those open.
Yeah, I've got a 2015, I think, and a 2016 sitting. Because I was actually told on the Black Butte, you really should sit it down for at least a year. That's
what they say about this, too. Yeah. I just wanted to try it fresh. I got a couple bottles, so.
Fair enough.
I'll still have some. So to go back to explain about the brewery, they were founded in 1988. They're actually based in Bend, Oregon. But then they have their tasting room up here, which is a small brewery. And they just opened or are opening this year a brewery in North Carolina, I think it is.
I think they're an opening one in Asheville. I think.
Yeah, that might be right. Yeah. But they're obviously, like a lot of other West Coast breweries, are opening one out back east so that they can get way cheaper beer out there. Yeah. I mean, you're paying a premium because they're trucking it all the way across the country.
Yeah, they're a pretty sweet brewery, and the food there was pretty good too.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of them.
Well, I'll give some tasting notes from this delicious beer that I'm sipping. And I read some of the notes on Beer Advocate because I'll do that when I'm tasting a beer. I won't do that when I'm reviewing a cigar, but I'll do that when I'm picking up a beer for the first time. And some of the people complained about the Four Roses being too bourbon forward. And I wonder if that was people who maybe aren't bourbon drinkers or aren't whiskey drinkers in the regular, because to me, this is like that perfect balance between a barrel-aged stout and a bourbon without the barrel-aged stout, you know, taking over and you don't get any of those bourbon notes except maybe as an afterthought. Or we've all had those barrel-aged beers where the bourbon or the scotch or whatever just completely takes it over. And yeah, it's a stout, but really you're getting that bourbony, boozy taste to it. I'm not finding that at all. It is sweet. Like you get that sweet corn mash bourbon flavor to it along with that, you know, rich toasted maltiness. But it is not overpowering the cigar. I'm shocked that an 11.9% stout that's this big is not running the cigar over. But I actually find that it is 100% supercharging the spice in this cigar. So I went from like the spice kind of being accented and, you know, like still getting a lot of the nuances in the cigar to this cigar kind of turning into a little bit of a spice bomb, which is shocking for a Liga Maestro. But I love it. I'm digging it all day long.
You definitely get more spice from the smaller ring gauges. I think that's I don't know if that's a universal truth, Mostly. I don't think there's any such thing as a universal truth in cigars, but at least for our lines, when you go into the smaller ring gauges, you definitely get a bit more spice and a bit more body to it, I think, as well. although the term body is loosely used. But I'll talk about my pairing, and it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. This Woodford Reserve, it's brandy cask, and it's a little bit on the sweet side, like I mentioned. It's bringing out more of that body in the cigar, more of that the earthy notes that they aren't really strong, like you were saying, John. The earthy notes and the spice is not really strong, but it's bringing that more to the forefront while it's still maintaining that. I love that sugarcane sweetness that's in there. Mm-hmm. It's subtle, and it's not like a cloying sweetness that you can get from some cigars, but it's just the right amount, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and getting some sweetness obviously from this from the Woodford Reserve. But it brings out an interesting anise note, and I don't know if one trip when you were talking after I took a couple of sips, I kind of did a double take with my glass because I didn't get that anise flavor from there at all, and that is actually pairing really nicely with the flavors from the cigar and the sweetness from the bourbon. This is really, really nice. Outside of pairing Liga Maestro with Florida Caña, which just makes too much sense.
I mean. Florida Caña is cheating.
Yeah,
just all,
it's like coffee. It's cheating.
Yeah, I have some 18, and I was going to open that. I was like, no, I can't do that. That's just
too easy. There's no cigar that doesn't go with Florida Caña.
It's just not fair. I was this close to bringing home a bottle of the 25, but I feel like it went up in price. It was, I think, 140 now.
Yeah,
that's higher.
Going price now.
It used to be 125.
Yeah,
because I remember it was 25-year 125. When I was back there in. That might have been November, so it hasn't changed that much, or it changed pretty quickly, I should say. But we did bring home a couple bottles of the 12 because it's really good, and it's significantly cheaper down there than it is here. I guess I think we got two bottles for 50 at duty free, and if I go down to BevMo and buy one, it's like 46.
So, yeah, just as a word of enlightenment for those who are flying through Nicaragua. Definitely check out the duty free store on the way in. Get them to do the 2-pack special for the Florida Caña 18 because you cannot beat that 2-pack special.
And unlike duty free stores in the U.S., you can buy stuff there when you're coming in. Mm-hmm. In the U.S., you have to be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can buy it when you land. And there's actually like four now when you land. I think the first right where you get your bags. The first time there was just one. If memory serves, mm-hmm. although it was the first time I was traveling like internationally totally by myself. So I was a little bit distracted, but I feel like there was only one and now there's like four of them. But word to the wise though, if you are traveling down there and you're going to spend some time and you like wine, bring wine with you. That's all. I mean, they have a lot of that South American stuff and some of the Chilean wines are really good. But when Dana and I were thinking, what should we bring? And the last time I went down, I brought a bottle of Oban, and it didn't get as much love as I thought it might. I mean, everybody was kind of gravitate towards rum down there, like a Scotch on the peaty side. You don't really want that when you're down in Nicaragua, I guess. So I sent Claudio a message and said, "Hey, we're gonna bring some wine. What kind do you like?" He's like, "Oh, thank you for bringing wine. Mm-hmm. Bring some Pinot." So we brought some nice Pinot down there. And Claudio, man, he can cook.
Indeed, he can.
Yeah.
He can cook, man. We did some, made a little meat sauce and, we cracked open the bottle of Pinot. It was a lot of fun. It's out there on the coast, man. If you guys haven't gotten out to San Juan del Sur, you will not want to come home.
I'm not sure where that is. Is that on the Pacific side or the Caribbean?
It's on the Pacific coast. Yeah. So if you're in Grenada, it's about an hour and a half towards the Pacific. And, good surfing down there. I really wanted to surf, and there was a lot of people in the area that we were learning, and I really wanted to do it. Although the first night that we were in San Juan del Sur, we ended up playing quarters, and it got a little aggressive. So I needed a couple of days to recover from that.
Yeah. No surfing those days.
No, I just. It's amazing how refreshing just running out and jumping in the ocean is, though.
Yeah, that's what happens when you go to Charlie's with Claudio.
Oh man,
Charlie's.
What did you guys eat when you were there?
We went to Charlie's.
What did you eat though?
I was with Skip, so we ate everything.
Nice.
he basically ordered like So he got there before everybody else, and then when Claudio showed up, he sat at a different table for some reason, so we had two separate tables. But Skip had already ordered for like 18 people. We had so much food that we were giving it away.
And Das Boot? Did you get out the boot?
No, we tried. Charlie was running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
No boot.
He was like, I can't do the boot tonight, guys. Sorry.
You're going to be having the boots when we go back in March.
All right. Yeah. I'm down for that.
Boot.
I of course, had the the sauerkraut because, you know, I'm not German. I know last name's a little confusing, but I'm actually Scottish. But I was raised from, my stepfather is German and his mom is first generation German. So I've grown up with like his sister's cooking, which is like pure German food. So like I said to Charlie, I'm like, listen, and I don't mean to be a jerk, but like I know good German cooking and I've lived with good German cooking. So I'm going to judge you on your sauerkraut. His sauerkraut was so good. So good. I mean, German food in Granada, right? Like, that's so weird, but
super authentic.
Super authentic. And if you are in Granada, you have to visit Charlie's. You have to visit Charlie's. It is one of the best German restaurants I've been to in my life. I have the hat. Got to pick up the hat, too.
I want to get the shirt. I like the logo. Every time I'm there, I think about, I got to get the shirt. And then the boot comes out and I forget everything.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. So as we come down to it, gentlemen, we'll hit our favorite pairings of the night. Rob is our special guest tonight. What's favorite pairing of the night?
I got to go with the Woodford Reserve Brandy Cask finish. It's perfect. It's really, this is the best thing I paired with this particular cigar outside of Flor de Caña.
Fair enough. Trip, what say you?
So I didn't even really talk about my second pairing because we ran up against it, but it's a really good pairing. It's super bitter, super chocolatey and roasty and has everything I look for in a bourbon aged stout and goes super well with a cigar.
So for me, we're down to about 3 minutes in our Armed Forces Radio Network segment.
Even though we did the restart?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can we do one thing before we're done?
Absolutely.
I want you guys to take your bands off.
Yeah.
All right. Pants.
The top band, the Mambacho band.
One of the coolest features.
November 2015.
Nice. Now, John, you just bought your cigar like 2 days ago.
I did, but I don't know if the audience can see that. No, they can't see that. It's July 2015. And I just bought it.
I just bought mine.
Now, mine actually came from Nicaragua, and it's only a year old. It's March 2016.
Oh, is that it?
Only a year. So just so you guys know, on the back of every band, that date is there. And again, not to be too much of a company guy, every cigar... 6 months before it's even shipped out. It goes in that, you guys went in the aging room. It's
that beautiful. Amazing aging
room. One of the greatest rooms in all of
Nicaragua. We have to talk about that and maybe a little bit more about Casa Favilli in the After Dark segment.
Absolutely.
Because, I could have put up a cot in the aging room and not left. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, I just wanted to point that out because not everybody knows. That band, every single one has a date right on the back. Mm-hmm. The youngest cigar, the youngest, was a year old.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
That is very cool. So thanks very much for all our Armed Forces Radio Network listeners who are out there. We appreciate all that you do for us. You guys are built to do things we are not built to do. Even though I got the six-pack abs, we are not built to do what you guys are built to do. We appreciate your service out there, keeping us safe wherever you're stationed in the world. Hope you've been entertained by our 58 minutes of shenanigans tonight. We'll be back next week on our regular scheduled time of 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. This week, there will not be a cigar chat, unfortunately, but c'est la vie, that's how it rolls. I want everyone to go out there, have a great weekend, do a pairing, and stay safe. And welcome to our After Dark segment of sharing our pairings. We haven't actually done an After Dark segment in a while. I'm gonna keep it up on the three-view split screen because it allows me to just, you know, shoot the stuff and drink beer. But we're, of course, still shoot broadcast live. Shoot the stuff. We're broadcast on Facebook Live. I feel like I got to keep it classy.
I don't give a shit.
That's fair. That's fair.
Break that glass for you.
Are we getting an ab reveal in the After Dark?
No.
No,
I sure hope not.
Negative.
No. I mean, if you want an ab reveal, you can come down on the Safari in March. Because, you know, I'll be sitting poolside, you know, flexing.
There you go.
Actually, for those who aren't aware, and it's too late if they've already signed up for the SigFed Cigar Safari in March, there is a grudge match basketball game that will be going on I don't know what day it's going on, but it's basically going to be Henry and his boys against the Sigved crew in some b-ball, you know. So I've been training, I've been working out, I've been cutting weight. I don't know if I'm going to do any better at b-ball, but like I'm prepared, I'm ready to rock.
I feel like Henry could run the point pretty
well.
Oh,
he's going to kill me.
Yeah. And John, you're just going to try to slow him down. That's it.
Yeah.
And I can see one crossover. John's going left, and Henry's already he's already laying it up.
But you know,
finger roll, boom.
Basketball was invented by a Canadian. Just saying.
Doesn't mean you're good at it.
It absolutely does not. I am not built for basketball. I am way too short for basketball. I did not grow up playing basketball. I grew up playing hockey and playing baseball. Those are like the two sports I grew up with. You know, you got hockey in the like late summer, late fall, all throughout the winter. And then like as soon as spring hits, boom, it's baseball season, baby.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Baseball season right around the corner.
Pitchers and catchers.
So excited.
Fast Jimmy's expecting a loss by 42 points on the Sigfed side.
Nah,
that sounds about right.
I'll foul Henry if I have to.
Against that.
No,
and you're only playing to 50. I think that's
is that how it works? I thought it was street rules. We played at 20.
Yeah, even then, yeah. that's
they'll still beat us by 25 points.
That's two shutouts.
So Casa Vivilli, man. So first of all, for those of you who are out there who have not been to Granada, first of all, if you go to Nicaragua, I mean, nothing against Esteli. Esteli is a really nice town, really great people. But Esteli is like what I would call a working town.
Absolutely.
Granada is like a tourist town. I mean, it's got really cool old world Spanish style infrastructure and buildings, really cool hotels. And to top it off, you got Casa Vivilli, which was made by an Italian in, what, 1925? Was that right? 1925. So there's like this huge.
I don't have that note sheet in front of me.
Yeah, I think
I
it's
his name was Mario.
Yeah, huge Italian oak door, marble stairways, staircases. Like it's an incredible building, and inside it is, you know, a really interesting cigar factory, and it's cool
against
to do a tour.
Against all reason, it's a cigar factory.
Against all reason, with railroad rails all throughout the. I mean, the building is like all concrete with big rails, like big thick steel railway rails running through it. And Claudio mentioned that, like, you know, if Granada, hopefully will never be hit by a huge earthquake, but if Granada was hit by a huge earthquake, you wouldn't feel it in that building. That building isn't going to go anywhere.
So pro tip, if you're in Granada and
go to Casa Vivilli, light up a cigar, chill out in Casa Vivilli.
They had a pretty good size earthquake just off the coast, I think, in November or December. I remember what that all rhymed. I remember I messaged Oliver, who is our general manager at the at Casa Vivilli, and he kind of keeps everything running. And I shot him a message on Facebook, like, "Hey, is everybody all right?" Because it was a big earthquake, and they had a tsunami warning down there too. So it's anywhere along that coast, man. You're just asking for it. But I don't think earthquakes are super common down there, but it doesn't look like it anyway. But when you're in Granada, you say it's a more of a tourist town. That could be a positive and a negative, right?
Yeah,
it could be a positive if you're comfortable with that. Some people aren't comfortable with going to a more of a working town, the term that you use, John. But Granada is an awesome, awesome town. Great people. I mean, I brought Dana down for the first time. She had a blast. I think the one thing that her one regret was that we didn't really get out of the touristy part and see more of the local life.
Yeah.
In the city, because the city's actually pretty big. And yeah, there's that main square, and we stayed when we were down there. We stayed, you know, where the cathedral is, right in the middle of town.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Where the square is, where all the horses line up, and all that. Yep. We stayed right on the back, just behind the cathedral.
Which hotel is that?
We stayed at a house called Casablanca, right there on. What's the Calzada, the main strip there with all the
restaurants?
All the restaurants.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. So we stayed right there. It was funny, man. On Saturday night, going into Sunday morning, was our last night. That was the day of our party. So we had our anniversary party, 11th anniversary, on an island in Lake Nicaragua. And I've got video and photos and stuff that's going to be posted up pretty soon, so you guys can see that. It was it's kind of amazing. We had the island to ourselves, but you think of an island in Lake Nicaragua, you just think kind of like it's just like an island. There's not much going on, but it had like three pools, like infinity pools, and a volleyball court, and guys were playing soccer. It was just it felt more like a family reunion than like an office party, which is really what it was. So it was a really cool vibe, and we had a lot of fun. After that, we all went out and, you know, had dinner and went to there's a bar there that's opening up that hasn't opened yet, and they opened their doors for us, so we kind of had the place to ourselves, and we were the first people to really be in there, and it was a lot of fun. And so Dana and I, we kind of called it an early night because I wasn't feeling well. Like I said, I caught my cold, and we went back and we were asleep around 2:30, which was an early night. And around 5 in the morning, this parade started, literally right outside of our window.
Yep.
And there was fireworks going off and drums being banging and everything and horses going up and down the road. And you can hear people. And Dana freaked out. And it woke me up. And I'm listening to the cadence of what's happening. Because you hear big explosions and you think, oh, crap, do we need to get down? Like, what's going on? And it sounded very organized. And it was very, very, the cadence was very organized. So I immediately said, okay, we're probably fine. Okay, it's Sunday. We're right next to the church. It's a religious thing. And I get up to use the bathroom and I turn the light on. And Dana's like, don't turn the light on. Why? It's like, I don't want anybody to know we're here. No, we're fine. It's just she thought that there was some kind of who knows what's going on out there.
The next revolution.
Yeah, she was getting a little bit worried, but no, it was a blast. And and then, you know, obviously going out to the coast was a lot of fun. And you know, a big shout out to the guys from Mombacho. Really, I went down and I was really treated more like a visitor on this trip. I got to experience the same way that. We had some shops down there. Tinderbox from Tennessee from Nashville was down there, and Smoke in Philly, they were down there as well. And I got to experience it the same way that they did. It was their first trip for our anniversary party, so there's a lot of fun things happening that I wasn't privy to before they happened. So, you know, a big shout out to Cam and Marcus and Marcus's wife Jolene and everybody who put all this stuff together. And Matt, if I don't know if you guys have met Matt from Mombacho, he's one of the founders as well, and. He had the duty of taking everybody around town and making sure that everybody had fun. So he was kind of like the tour director, the tour guide, if you will, which is a tough job when you have 15 people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Herding cats.
All different ages and different interests and everything. And man, we went out to this lagoon that is, it's a crater that's filled up with water over the years. A volcanic crater, and so it's a lake now, and you go down to this lake, and I've got some pictures and stuff from this. It was awesome. Such an awesome day. The water was so warm. Just, they had this little platform you could swim out to, and it was, God, we had a blast, man. We had an absolute blast. I can't wait to go back.
Now, was that your first time to Grenada? Like, you, before Dana, that was your second, so previously, that, like, in November, that was your first trip?
November was my first trip to Grenada. So it was my first time seeing Casa Favilli, and one of the cool things, and we did this both times we were down there, is, and I talked about the party, how it felt like more of a family reunion. The way that things work, and I don't know if you guys saw this when you were there, if you were there in time to do it, you get in the factory right around noon, the bell rings and everybody stops and everybody has lunch together.
Yeah.
And my first day in the factory, I'm sitting there with the guys, the rollers, the buncheros and everybody, and having lunch. And, it was just a really cool feeling, and we were doing our best to communicate because my Spanish is meh, and you know, I'm in their country, that I don't expect them to accommodate me and speak English, so I'm doing my best to speak some Spanish. But it was a lot of fun to have that feeling. You know, it's kind of, everybody kind of gets together and you really feel like everybody's working for the person next to them. You know, it's mm-hmm. It's not the huge factory where there's rows and rows and rows and rows of tables. There's merit to that too. I'm not saying that one's better than the other, but the vibe in Casa Favilli is like a family. It's I know a lot of that sounds like lip service, but if you're down there and you get a chance to experience it, it's totally got that feel. Yeah. Yeah, and you're seeing it from a different perspective than I am. So I'm glad that you felt this.
Yeah, I'd been to Grenada previously, but not been to Grenada previously when I don't think maybe Mombacho. No, I don't think Mombacho had the Casa Favilli factory at the time. I'd been there previously, so it was a great experience to go back And, you know, now that the traveler blinders are kind of removed, I've been there, I'm more paying attention to what's going on. Everything isn't a blur. And so I can kind of really enjoy everything that's going on. And of course, we had Claudio as a host, and I mean, you really can't ask for a better host than the guy who is the president of the company. And so, you know, it was a great experience, and we had the chance to take some of our franchisees through the process. And I got to tell you, like, prior to that, they had no experience with Mombacho cigars. We get back, and of course I get a flurry of emails. Okay, so who do I get Mombacho cigars from? You know, where do I order those? Tell me again, which was the cigar we smoked when we were there? Because, you know, I think that's true of when you go down and see a factory and you see the process and you meet the people, it gives you a great story to tell your, you know, not just your customers, but everybody you meet. Like, hey, yeah, I was there. I watched these cigars getting made. I could tell you about the process. I saw every step from, you know, maybe not from seed, but from Pallone all the way up to a finished product. I got to see that process through the entire step, and it was incredible.
And that view on the roof, man.
Oh, forget about it.
You guys did, I know, John, you did a dinner up there. Trip, did you do that too?
No. We had it was like a half day of Perosa Bor. Like, everybody was still coming in. Some people didn't get in until the next morning. So day one was kind of like, everybody gets there around 2 or 3. And then we went to Mombacho, and Claudio was running behind because they had screwed up the getting all the groups there. So we just kind of did a tour, and then we did the tasting thing up on the roof, and then ran around and took some pictures. And then that night was like nothing was planned. So that was the night we went to Charlie's and got a little crazy.
Those are the best nights. When those are the best nights. Just to be clear, though, Trip, you were down there for the Piro Sabor, the Nicaraguan Cigar Festival.
Yeah.
And like, you were down there like, what, the day before it started?
Well, so, I was down there. They call it day one.
Yeah. But day one is really
like 30 people who are actually part of the festival who are even there.
And the cool thing is, I mean, the first 2 days of the festival were in Granada, and there's no other factories in Granada.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a captive audience.
In a way, like, well, let me rephrase. I think it's actually better for everybody, because you actually get a chance to go in and see Casa Fabili. And when you go to Esteli, not everybody gets to see every factory, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's everybody. Seven different groups that are going on tours, and so you only get to see like a third of the tours.
Yeah, I have to be down there next year for that festival.
It was great.
Me too.
I'm gonna go no matter what.
Me too.
The timing for me didn't work, because I had just been there and I was going to be there the following week. I don't know how Claudio does it, man. He was there for that festival, had like 2 days, and then everybody starts showing up for our anniversary party.
Wow.
God bless that
guy.
No
time to recover.
He's the machine, man. The guy never stops.
I will say, when it was Cam, Marcus, myself, Costa from Smoke in Philly, and Matt, and I think that was it, the five of us, when we were playing Cordobas and just getting weird, Claudio went to bed. I think he slept for like 14 hours that night. Because he worked his tail off.
When I went down, so just to tell you what a machine that Claudio is. So the last time I went down to Nicaragua was November. So we stopped in Miami for a couple days. Claudio was in Miami, hosted Jeff, and Jeff is the owner of Chief Smokes and Cigars, hosted he and I at his house with some wine, cooked up some amazing food, had some wine, had a great time. We go to Esteli for a couple days, and then we met Claudio in Granada. So he flew from Miami to Granada, and you know, he's just nonstop. He never stops.
Yeah, wow. One of the main reasons that joining the Mombacho family appealed to me was working with Claudio, because I mean, John, you and I got to meet him as, you know, as members of the media, and just the way that we were treated by him was unique in the way that you know, he conducted himself with us. And it wasn't, you know, some guys that I can speak on this now, I mean, maybe you can't, John, but I mean, some guys in the industry, or guys and gals in the industry, it's the relationship is what it is. We're media, they're producing cigars, and everybody serves their purpose, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But Claudio has a way of making it a bit more personal.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, the minute I heard that this position was available, I told him, look, I'm available for the position, and I have the skills for it. So it really is a perfect fit. I couldn't possibly be happier I think the only person that's happier about me in this job is my wife, because I'm just a happier person now than I was before. And if she were here, she would probably, expound on that a little bit more, but, I couldn't be happier to be with the group of guys that I'm working with, and the product that we offer is top notch in my opinion. And I mean, you guys have smoked it, so
can't disagree.
What I want, I need to get you guys to smoke the Mambachito though, because the Mambachito is a real cigar.
Yeah.
And that's the 15-20 minute smoke that
I've smoked a bunch of them, because you know they come in at a great price point up here, because there's basically a tax cutoff, so they come in here at a great price, and yeah, I mean they're a great 15-20 minute smoke. And again, when you smoke, and no disrespect to the manufacturers out there, but a lot of little cigars they're just not made with the same care and quality
they're made for smoking, not for flavor.
Yeah.
They're just so you're smoking something.
But the Mambachito is a full board Mambacho cigar in a smaller format.
100%. I gotta get my hands on this.
It's the same blend as a Tierra Volcán. And, you know, there's one guy who makes it.
Wow.
Just one.
So we were, the day that we left to go to Esteli, we stopped right across the street from Mambacho to wait for one of the buses that was still like running behind or something. Because we had a police escort up to Esteli. And we're parked in front of Mambacho for like 20 minutes. And I'm like, man, I should be smoking a Mambachito right now. Like kind of jokingly. And then like 10 minutes later, I'm like, I'm going to go buy some Mambachitos. Mm-hmm. And I stand up to go and they're like, oh, bus is here. Let's roll.
Damn it.
That's how it always goes.
I didn't get any. And then I was like, all right, when I get home, I'll order some. And I don't think anybody sells them online.
Yeah. It's
so I got to check my local and see if they have them.
Yeah, see if your local spots have them, and I know that you happen to be in one of the areas of the country that I don't think we have a whole lot of representation in.
No, I know one shop, but
yeah, that's going to change in the coming year. But definitely, it's. And I know this all sounds like lip service, but I feel like at least the listener base knows me well enough to know that I'm not just blowing smoke, pun unintended, I guess. That's one of the better cigars that I think we make, and it's. It's funny. I was telling Dana because they were, we met another couple from Canada, and Dana and Vicky became fast friends. And Vicky had some Mambachitos, and she gave one to Dana. And I was like, just because they're small, doesn't mean that they're like a light cigar. Yeah. I mean, these are real. I mean, that probably kicks a bit more of a punch than I think this cigar does that I'm smoking. In my opinion, anyway. So I was trying to warn her. I was like, look, this just because it's a small cigar doesn't mean that it's, I mean, it's no joke.
It's no joke.
It's it's good stuff, man. And we got some great stuff coming in the future. You guys are going to, relatively.
I'm excited to see what Mambacho comes out with. Because I'm relatively on board for whatever.
Claudio's got stuff that he's been working on for years. This guy's got stuff squirreled away in the corners of the, I mean, you guys probably saw some of the stuff up there. Maybe
I can neither confirm nor deny what is coming.
Yeah, maybe you got to smoke some of it. I don't know.
Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. Who's to say?
Yeah.
IPCPR 2017. We'll find out.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. No, it's a good company, man. They're good people, and you know, a couple of the things that we always say is happy people make good cigars. And if you go and you look at some of the photos and things from, I actually shared this photo on Instagram, and. It was the Instagram user who posted it. Her name was Jazzy Sparkle, which is hard to say with a straight face. Yeah. Right? But it's a picture of her rolling a cigar. And if you go to the Mambacho Instagram feed, and if you're not following us, you should, at Mambacho Cigars. And we're at Mambacho Cigars everywhere.
Regular.
Well, absolutely. You guys are
100%.
You're not stopping.
Yeah. You're going to plug. No.
But there's a picture of her, and she's rolling a cigar. And she's got this biggest smile on her face, and then the roller who is showing her is also she's got that smile of you kind of didn't do it right, but you're having fun, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that I like to see. It's people just going in and having a good time.
There you go. We have a comment from I'm guessing it's Logan Cigar Federation. Rob is a major douche.
Yep, that'd be Logan.
Yeah, that sounds like Logan.
That definitely sounds like Logan. Tell him to get back to work.
Yeah, Logan,
slacker.
Logan and I exchanged some snippy texts earlier today. So, and in Logan's defense, I was being a douche earlier today. So it's all good. But the only other thing that I really feel like I need to mention before we move on to football picks or whatever it is that we're going to do next is if you're in the Philadelphia area, on the third anniversary party at Smoke is February 25th. And I know
Claudia, birthday.
It's your birthday?
Oh, yeah.
Fly out to Philly, man. Well, you got to fly out to Philly. I know Claudio's going to be there. I'm not sure if I'm going to be there or not, but that's our third anniversary party, and it's going to be a big Mombacho event as well. So, and they're running a promotion. So if you're in Philadelphia and you haven't smoked Mombacho yet, check out Smoke. And they are in Manayunk. I probably should have asked Costa how to say that. Manayunk. I'm guessing that's a city. I've never been to Philadelphia, so I don't know. But their anniversary party is February 25th. So that's going to be a good night. So if you're in the area, I highly recommend.
And Rob,
whatever you guys want to talk
about. Give a plug to everywhere on social media that you can find Mombacho.
Mombacho is at Mombacho Cigars pretty much everywhere. And you can find me. I'm at Robbie Raz pretty much everywhere. And it's kind of the same thing. I'm as part of my duties as a global protector of the Mombacho brand. I like that.
Oh, there
it is.
That's a good one.
It's strong. Like, I need to sit up a little straighter with that. Yeah, at Mombacho Cigars everywhere. MombachoCigars.com has been woefully out of date for a while. If you go there now, it's a new website. We're still working out a few of the kinks. So we haven't really announced that it's a new website yet, but you can check it out and you get all the information on the cigars. There's a map there that shows where Mombacho cigars are available. It's not complete because it takes a long time to add all these different pins. So that's not, if you don't see your local shop there, that doesn't necessarily mean that your local shop doesn't carry Mombacho. If you have questions, you can email Rob at MombachoCigars.com. I almost said Rob at CigarFederation.com. That email still works too, so you can try that as well. But yeah, anything you guys need, any information, you can always feel free to hit me up. And if you can't find me, get in touch with John or Tripp, and they'll point you in my direction.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll have an email address soon. We have a question from Jeff Madre. Is the Mombachito the same as a Vulcanito?
Absolutely, it is.
So the same thing, just a new name?
Same cigar. That's
because of the Mombacho name, right?
Correct. The original Mombacho cigar that has the Mombacho band on it, it looks very similar to this band. This is our new band. It looks very similar to this. It's more of a brown gold, like a golden rod, as opposed to like a gold leaf that you're seeing here. That is the same as the Tierra Volcan, same blend. So if you find a cigar that has a Tierra Volcan band on it, it's pretty old, so you should buy it. But that is the same blend as the new one. There is also, and I don't have one here with me, or do I? Oh, I do. It's almost like I planned ahead. It's the same as the, we've just rebranded. So everything now has the Mombacho band. Pardon my noise in the background. And so that is the new Tierra Volcan. And these bands have started shipping. So as you can see,
that band is so much better.
Yeah, it's the same.
I love it.
As this is the Liga Maestro, it's black. The Tierra Volcan is a little bit, almost like a brownish. Marcus just fired in a text. He says, any questions? You guys can call Claudio on his cell phone direct, and I will give you his number if you need. He is available at all hours of the day, no matter what part of the world you're calling from, even if you're calling from Australia at 4 a.m. So yeah, that is, and they're all the same. It's all the same blend. So the Vulcanito is now, Marcus just texted me the number. I'm not going to share it, but if you do need to get in touch with Claudio, you can find him. He's on Instagram and Facebook and all that. I think it's at, if you type in at Claudio, it's like Claudio Maestro Mombacho or something like that. You'll find him. But the Vulcanito and the Mombachito are the same cigar.
Okay.
Long story long.
Any other audience questions, Tripp?
No.
That's all it. Right. You guys were easy on me.
Yeah.
You got questions about if anybody's going to the Rocky Mountain Cigar Festival?
You know, it's funny. It's funny. One of the things that I'm working on now is putting together a list of all the events, the cigar events that take place, you know, around the world, really, because I mean, we've got some up in Canada, we've got them in the States, we've got them in Europe, and putting together a list of all these different events. So if you have an event, you guys are just teeing them up. if you have an event that's local to you and you want to see Mambacho there, let me know. Because there's a lot of events, man. I'm trying to track them all down, but there isn't a website of cigarevents.com. Maybe somebody's there's an idea for somebody.
John found one.
Is there?
Yeah, there is actually a cigarevents.com.
Is it really?
Yeah, and it's got a decent listing. But I mean, there's a lot of events going on, so it's tough to capture them all. There's so many.
Yeah, there's so many events, and I mean, obviously, we'd love to be at all of them. I'm only one person, so I can only be at so many. But and Claudio is only one person. We need to get Marcus on the road because it's at Maestro Claudio Scroy. It's Maestro Claudio Claudio, and Scroy Sgroi. That's Claudio on Instagram. And if you instant message him or direct message him and say, "Hey Claudio, what's your phone number?" he'll share it with you.
He don't care. That's just how he rolls. Rob, thanks very much for being our special guest tonight on Sharing Our Pairings. It was a nice celebration of our 100th episode, and we appreciate being on. And it was a great cigar to pair with tonight. It was a good time.
No, absolutely, yeah. And it was a lot of fun. Thank you for including me and including Mambacho and focusing on the Liga Maestro for the 100th episode. That's a milestone, man. Uh-huh. I mean, considering that the show was what, bi-weekly, and then it was weekly for a while, and then now it's bi-weekly again. So it's to get to 100 episodes is a pretty good milestone, and having listeners in Burkina Faso, it's nothing to
it's a big deal.
We did get a shout out from Oaxaca, Mexico on Facebook.
Nice. See, that's what I'm talking about.
Awesome.
Thank you, Oaxaca, awesome. Mexico, for checking it out. Although you're probably pairing some really tasty tequilas, that probably would be really interesting with some Liga Maestros.
I just tequila
high level.
Yeah, tequila's a road I haven't gone down yet.
You know, maybe we'll share for another show, but I've had some really high end tequilas in Mexico, and when you have a high end tequila in Mexico, it's a whole different experience. It's not like any tequila you've ever had. True good tequila. Made properly in Mexico, on a whole different planet from the tequila that you grew up with. Totally
or
different.
Or a nice smoky mezcal.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, that's not my style. But I'm sure it's akin to having like a Bacardi.
Yeah.
Regular Bacardi
versus a Florida Canyon 12.
Florida Canyon 12.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the equivalent.
The difference is astronomical. So yeah, I can imagine.
Totally different.
I've got enough vices. I don't need to add tequila.
Well, thanks very much, Rob, and Trip. Thanks for you as always as my co-host, and thanks for all our live listeners who've tuned in on Facebook Live, CigarFederation.com, and all our podcast listeners out there. We appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate your subscription. Thanks for your comments, your questions, and your upvotes and your likes. Make sure to share it. We appreciate it, and give us a hashtag Sharing Our Pairings on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We love you, and as we share in Sharing Our Pairings, drink better, but drink less.